All right, a little bit of change of plans. Mark Sharp, his secretary, just called and said that they have to push things back 15 minutes. So we'll be joined by Mark Sharp. He is in the Missouri House of Representatives. He will be on the show coming up in about 15 minutes. Well, you know what? We will figure it out until then. Now, I was planning on talking about the Chiefs. That's what I had planned during the break when we found this out. But you know what? I am going to call an audible. And this is why. Bruce Feldman just released a list of the top 25 college football players since 2000. So since the turn of the century. Now, if there's one thing I love to do, it is argue about these lists and talk about random college football players of our childhood. And this allows us the opportunity to be both. Now, I'm not going to read to you the top 25. That's way too much work. Rob, here is the top 10, according to Bruce Feldman. These are the top 25 college football players of the last 25. At number 10, they had Terrell Suggs. At number 9, Travis Hunter. At number 8, Tim Tebow. Number 7, Vince Young. Number 6, Ed Reed. Number 5, Lamar Jackson. Number 4, Joe Burrow. Number 3, Ndamukong Suh. Number 2, Reggie Bush. And number 1, Cam Newton was number 1 on this list. You just heard the top 10. I'll give you the honorable mention here coming up in a bit. What is your initial reaction when I read to you Bruce Feldman's top 25 college football players of the last 25 seasons?
Well, first and foremost, for this show, I feel like you're about to take a victory lap about Cam Newton being number one.
I mean, I've told you this now for 6 years. I've told you that Cam Newton's the best college football player we've ever seen. And all you've done is laugh at me and mock me, even though the proof is in the pudding. It's been there since the very beginning of time. Yes, Cam Newton is the best college football player that we have ever seen.
So I knew that was coming. That was number one. Number two, my secondary thoughts behind, oh boy, here we go. I want to know the criteria, because I don't know there's a more accomplished college player we ever saw play than Tim Tebow, and he was 8? Tim Tebow won a Heisman and multiple national championships at Florida as the quarterback. Like, if the criteria is, hey, just be incredible on an individual level, check. If it is win a national title, check. If it's longevity, check. Like, I'd like to know the criteria, because Tim Tebow at 8 feels wrong. Also, and maybe I just didn't hear it.
I can give you the criteria if you would like. This is how he starts the story.
I would like it, because Tebow feels low.
It's very simple. Over the past few weeks, I reached out to 36 coaches, TV analysts, and TV scouts. I asked them a simple question. Who do you think is the best college football player over the past 25 years? So we are not talking about an individual season. Just they asked a bunch of people, who do you think is the best college football players? He compiled their answers to make a list. Now, people are going to look at it very differently. You're right. There are players on this list that had a much better career than Cam Newton did. Tim Tebow had a better college football career. I would argue that the best version of Cam Newton was better than the best version of Tim Tebow. I actually agree with you. I think that Tebow's too far down on this list. Tebow's one of the 5 best college players over the last 25 years. I love Ed Reed. Ed Reed should probably move down a little bit on this list. I'm sorry. Tim Tebow was a better college football player than Lamar Jackson was. So if you were telling me some version of my top 5, I think they're really close with what they have. Reggie Bush, Cam Newton, Ndamukong Suh, Joe Burrow, and Tim Tebow. That should be the top 5 list of the last 25 years. We might debate on where certain players should go in that top 5, but I do think that those players separated themselves. Either it was their ceiling of who they were as a player, or I think it was their college career. Tebow was one of the most Tebow was the Tyler Hansborough of college football over the last 25 years. There is not a lot of college football players you can name that are going to have a better college football career than Tim Tebow did at Florida.
That was my knee jerk. We can argue about, I think Tim Tebow has to be top 3. If you have him at 4 or 5, I'm not going to fight you too much. But 8 feels ridiculous. Also, when you're through the top 10, now maybe I just missed it. It's possible. You're telling me Johnny Manziel isn't one of the top 10 college football players we've seen over the last decade?
Who are you moving out of this list for Johnny
Terrell
Manziel?
Terrell Suggs was a better pro than college player.
I actually kind of feel like you're forgetting how good Terrell Suggs was because he went to Arizona State. I feel like you're forgetting how good he was. And you know I love Johnny Manziel. I don't know where Manziel is on this list because I went straight down to the top 10. I didn't read the entire list. Let me give you the honorable mention. So the players that are right outside the top 10. Number 11, Larry Fitzgerald. Number 12 is Andrew Luck, who I always just thought was a very overrated college football player. You have Devontae Smith from Alabama. He's number 13 on this list. Number 14 is Baker Mayfield. Number 15 is Marcus Mariota. Johnny Manziel was a better college player than Marcus Mariota was. And Mariota was a dog at Oregon. Johnny Manziel was a better player than he was.
I also feel like Baker Mayfield might be a little low on that list, but like,
I actually think that Mayfield's probably about right. Mayfield's probably like the 14th best college player we've seen in the last 25 years.
I feel like he went to multiple college football playoffs, won a Heisman. Like, that has to carry some weight. But like, to say Lamar Jackson is top five, but Baker Mayfield's just fringe top 15 feels very wrong to me. Like, just looking at those two guys, like, Lamar Jackson felt like a moment where Baker Mayfield was constantly in college football. But yeah, Johnny Manziel being asked at the top 15 is just wrong. Like, that he was the first freshman, albeit I believe he's a redshirt freshman, to win the Heisman. That has to carry some weight.
Yeah, someone on the text line says no Charles Woodson. Charles Woodson didn't play in the last 25 years or so. He won the Heisman in 98, so no, he would just not be eligible for this list. Someone said, where is Vince Young? Vince Young is number 7th on this list. If you are wondering, this list is on The Athletic of the top 25 college football players. Someone said that Cam Newton was not better than Tim Tebow in college. I would just strongly disagree with you. I think that Cam clearly was. I think what kind of hurts Tebow a little bit in this argument, and some of this is just not fair. Man, if you look at the teammates that Tim Tebow had, and you look at the teammates that Cam Newton had, it ain't close between the two. Like, if you go back and you look at how deep and how talented those Florida teams were, man. And that is not the case with Auburn. So I do think that Cam gets a little bit of a boost of Cam didn't have a super team at Auburn the way that Tim Tebow did at Florida. Someone else said, I also think it's silly the fact that guys who were one-hit wonders over guys who had better careers, I think it really depends on what you did in that one year. Like, Joe Burrow in his one season, his great season at LSU, he completed 77% of his passes for 5,671 yards. He threw 60 touchdown passes that season. You don't got to do that for all 4 years if you do that for the one. I'm sorry. Like, you don't have to be a four-year Marcus Mariota star if you in your one season put that together. So yes, I would put Burrow very, very high on my list. If we are going off is who is the best college football player you've seen over the last 25 years, Joe Burrow deserves to be very, very high on this list. Another reason why I would put Cam over Burrow is just teammates. Joe Burrow had Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase as his wide receivers in college. I'm not surprised you put up big numbers. That is not who Cam Newton had as his teammates. I think Cam gets a lot of credit for who he took to a national championship.
Listen, where me and you differ about Cam, and I don't want to make it sound like Cam wasn't fantastic, because Cam was a freak. Also, I didn't hear on the list, by the way, this is real quick, Tyrann Mathieu not being in the top 15 is very, very wrong.
I actually saw him on the list. He's 23.
Okay.
I saw him on the list.
I was like,
because you and I both love, we both love college Tyrann Mathieu. So you and I are on the same page.
I was like,
people don't understand how good Tyrann Mathieu was at LSU. They don't understand.
College Tyrann Mathieu was just, if he didn't smoke weed, he would win a Heisman. There's just no way he wouldn't have as a defensive player. Where me and you disagree on Cam is I'm not going to punish Joe Burrow or Tim Tebow for having good teammates. I'm sorry that Urban Meyer and Ed Orgeron are better recruiters than Gene Chizik. I'm sorry, Cam. You still won your title and got your Heisman, but 60 touchdowns in a season is obscene.
You ain't lying there. I can't deny that.
And by the way, Cam has this too. Joe Burrow wasn't throwing 60 at Hawaii. He was doing it at LSU. I think Burrow's better than Cam. I think Tebow should be ahead of both, but I think those three are 1, 2, 3. That's bang, bang, bang. Also on the text line, and a lot of people are clamoring for Ricky Williams. Ricky Williams won the Heisman in 98.
He doesn't classify. Yeah, no, I'm with you on that regard. Can we just go through the Tim Tebow team? This is why I just feel like you have to at least acknowledge that the team that one player had is just substantially better than the other team. Like, you're telling me at wide receiver he had Aaron Hernandez and Riley Cooper? Those were his number one and number two. That ain't what Cam had at running back.
By the way,
that's not who Cam had at receiver.
What does Percy Harvin count as? Because he was playing every position in college.
Yeah, doing everything. He had like Chris Rainey. You remember how good Chris Rainey was and Jeff Dimps? Yeah, that's not who Cam had on his team. I feel like Cam gets a little bit of credit for that. It's crazy because for as much as we talk about Cam Newton on this show, I can make a real strong argument that Reggie Bush is the best college football player we've ever seen. Reggie Bush at USC for those last 2 years was a superhero. He put together the best game I've ever seen a college athlete have. That game against Fresno State, It was one of those, the highlights just don't do it justice of how dominant Reggie Bush was on this Saturday evening. You remember when you had to stay up late to watch those games, and it was like, oh, you know, I'll just watch this. And I'm telling you, I never seen, it was like watching Tecmo Super Bowl Bo Jackson in real life. That's how good Reggie Bush was this day. For those of you that don't know the game I'm talking about, go on YouTube right now and type in Reggie Bush USC versus Fresno State, and I'm telling you, you are going to see the greatest college football performance that you have ever seen. That was a lot of fun, a fun detour from not having Mark Sharp. He will be on the show coming up next. Mark Sharp, he is a Missouri State rep. He actually voted yes for the sports bill. We'll get his reasoning on why he voted. We'll also find out why a lot of his political colleagues voted no on this. We'll talk about it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive, brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
Right now, there is a proposed Show Me Sports Investment Act. It would allow professional sports teams to access state funding for stadium development through a new bonding mechanism. This bill is designed to help the Chiefs and the Royals stay on the Missouri side. To learn a little bit more about this, we're going to head to the phone lines right now and be joined by Mark Sharp. He is a Missouri State Representative. Mark, happy to have you join us again. Appreciate your time.
Of course. I'm glad to be back.
Absolutely. Let's just start with this. For people who maybe don't know all the ins and outs, explain to them what this Show Me Sports Investment Act is.
Yeah, so thanks for the question. So right now, our legislative session ended last week. So right now we're not in session, but this topic should be coming back up very soon, most likely early in June. So right now, Governor Kehoe was working on a plan to try to offer the legislature for approval to have the state cover up to 50% of any professional sports team that is within the Major League Baseball Association or the NFL. So it wouldn't cover anything for like a WNBA or an NBA project, but it would cover items for any projects that meet a certain criteria. And I know we've spoken before about different iterations of this bill, but this one's a little different. But essentially, the state could be on the hook for up to 50% of the cost.
Do you have an understanding of why this didn't pass? Because it passed in your side of the government. It didn't pass in the Senate part of the Missouri government. Do you have an understanding of why this didn't pass?
Oh, yeah. Everyone in Jeff City, especially in that building, understands why it didn't pass. It didn't pass because people don't want to support the Chiefs or the Royals or any other future endeavors, maybe on the St. Louis side, that this program could take on. But there was a bill, and some folks probably don't know this, but Senate Bill 19 was a humongous omnibus capital improvements bill that contained, you know, more than 60 plus capital improvement projects across the state. And that bill died basically because some folks weren't getting along, and essentially the House budget chairman killed that bill. Now, folks are very upset about this, and they should be. So the plan now is essentially we're waiting for the governor to call a date for us to come back to Jeff City. One, we need to go back and approve that Senate Bill 19, make sure that legislators are happy again, and then we can pull up the Chiefs and Royals funding project. But that's kind of where we're at right now. We're playing this waiting game.
I don't know. It hits my ear kind of funny. Maybe it hits people's listening this. There's opposition inside Missouri politics on whether or not we want to fight to keep the Royals and the Chiefs. Like you say, there are people in Missouri government that don't support, I guess, keeping the teams or helping fund the teams. It just sounds like that is the exact opposite thing than what is happening in Kansas. Everybody appears to be on the same side. We want the Royals. We want the Chiefs. You don't feel like that's happening in Missouri?
Well, it shouldn't be. It should not be contingent upon other projects being funded, but you have people. There's a human element, right? You have folks that are upset because, you know, folks in St. Louis may not necessarily care about what's happening in Kansas City. All they know is my project for $50 million didn't get funded to help this hospital out. So you have folks who are upset, and I get being upset, but we had a chance. And again, the Missouri House approved this measure. This all unfolded and really kind of went up in smoke in the Missouri Senate. You had folks on both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans, that were, and again, these were not Kansas City folks. These were folks that were from different parts of the state. Folks in Kansas City were in lockstep. We wanted to make sure that we supported our teams. Representative Chris Brown, who I believe was the sponsor of the amendment on the House side, said it best. I mean, these are Missouri teams, and they need to stay in Missouri. So we feel that way. Unfortunately, we're going to have to make some folks happy, it looks like, with Senate Bill 19 and trying to pump some life back into that before we can see any action taken further on the Chiefs and Royals. But I do want to say that I feel very confident. I mean, this is the closest that we've been in the Missouri legislature all since the last year and a half, since the Jackson County 3A cent sales tax failed. Last time I was on this show, I was presenting a package that ultimately wasn't picked up. But this new version is a pretty good version. I mean, right now, the Chiefs and the Royals collect about $27 million a year in tax revenue to the state. And so essentially what this bill would do is would bond out the funding for the stadiums. And each year, what we would do is we would just recycle the money that comes in from their tax, from the taxes on these stadiums that they bring into the state. And then we use that to pay off the bonds. And that should be about a 20-year process. So depending on how big the project is. So, you know, right now our understanding is that the Royals want to move somewhere within the state. And then our understanding also is that the Arrowhead, the Chiefs would like to expand. To what degree, I'm not sure yet. But those are the things that we're considering. And we should be called back to the state capitol probably in the next couple of weeks.
Right now, we're joined by Mark Sharp. He is in the Missouri House of Representatives. He voted yes on the bill that would fund the Royals and a renovation for the Kansas City Chiefs. So it sounds to me like you are optimistic that there is a plan in place to get everybody on the same page here in the next 30 days to get this thing passed.
Oh, absolutely. This whole thing has been a roller coaster ride. You know, I've been trying to stay optimistic about this. We had a package earlier. It didn't see any traction. Now we have this new package from the governor. And I think it's a pretty good package. I mean, this way we're just recycling the money that comes in from tax dollars and using that same money to pay off the project in hopefully less than 20 years. So that's what we're looking at. I do think that we will be in a place where we can get this approved. When they call a special session, it's not – when I say they, I mean the supermajority, Republican supermajority. When they call us back down there, this all should be lined up. And I'll show being support to one, pass Senate Bill 19, the Capital Improvements Project, and then also the KC Stadiums package.
I got to ask this question as a skeptic here, as somebody that is listening. I mean, this package has already failed once. This bill has already failed once. What is stopping it from failing again?
Well, again, like insiders in Jeff City know that the real reason why Senate Democrats and some Senate Republicans, again, not from Kansas City, were filibustering that portion of the bill in Senate Bill 80 was because capital improvement projects in their districts, you know, and that could be in rural Missouri, or that could be in St. Louis, or that could be in the Boot Hill. It doesn't really matter. Those folks were more upset about their projects being essentially mixed from one person, and because of people not getting along. Jeff City is supposed to be a place for adults, but sometimes you have childish things that happen, and Senate Bill 19 shouldn't have died. So I think we need to get that done first, and then we can go ahead and try to bring up this Senate Bill 80 again for another vote.
Yesterday, we had a representative on for the state of Kansas. Want to try to get both sides, I guess, comments, opinions on this. He categorized it as Kansas is in the driver's seat for both of the teams. Do you guys on the Missouri side feel that way? Do you feel like you've lost control of this thing to Kansas?
No, I don't. I don't. Now, one thing I will say, I get that this representative, you know, they're trying to, you know, bat for their state. And so I appreciate that rhetoric, but I don't believe that's true. I believe that both teams genuinely want to stay in Missouri. There was another package that was also passed. I'll go ahead and mention it now, that would create a Clay County sports commission, similar to what Jackson County has. So they are already laying the groundwork just in case that the Royals do want to move north. They'll have the infrastructure set up to do that. So I do think that we're taking the right steps. And, you know, our plan might not be quite as hefty as the Kansas plan, but it's a sweetheart package, and I can't imagine either team's not wanting to take advantage of it.
I was just going to ask you, just looking at this, do you look at these deals as being comparable? Do you see the Kansas deal as being a better one for the teams? Do you see them as equal? If you are looking at both packages, how do you evaluate them against each other? What are the positives? What are the negatives?
Well, I think the Kansas package may be just maybe be a tad sweeter, but not much. Not enough to want to relocate. That's for sure. And again, Arrowhead, you know, for Arrowhead to consider staying where they're at, which is a really pretty fairly convenient consideration with all the space they have around there. Imagine Kauffman Stadium, you know, and again, I grew up going to, you know, games at the K. You know, I'm not really wild about seeing, you know, the stadium knocked down in any capacity, but that might be where we're headed. And if the Royals move to Clay County or move downtown or whatever the case is, the Chiefs are going to have are going to be in a real good position to expand what might be some sort of a sports entertainment district. And I think a lot of folks would be excited about that.
Right now, we're talking to Mark Sharp here for a couple more minutes. He is in the Missouri House of Representatives. He is a state rep for Missouri. It sounds like you think that Clay County could be viable in this. Are you working with Clay County? Is this a full state effort to try to keep the teams on this side of state line?
Clay County has good representation. They're well represented. Senators Maggie Nirenberg are folks that are really leading that charge. I know she's filed legislation to help get that Clay County Sports Commission rolling. But my biggest, you know, as a Kansas City, as a Jackson County person, you know, the ideal thing for me is for them to stay, one, where they're at. But if they can't stay where they're at, then I hope they can stay somewhere in Jackson County. And if that's no longer an option, then I would be in support of them moving to Clay County. But it seems like we're not to that point yet.
Mark, if you could go back in the last, let's say, year or so, or since the vote failed in Jackson County, what would you do differently? Because, I mean, it just doesn't sound like this thing has been a very easy process, where on the other side of the state line, it does sound like it's been pretty straightforward. Hey, we know exactly where the money is going to come from. We did this with the NASCAR Speedway. We had great success. We offer you the exact same deal. One side seems very simple. The other side seems complicated in some ways. If you could go back now, what would you change over the last 12 months?
Well, we don't know what all went into them crafting this legislation on the Kansas side. Fortunately for them, you know, they don't have any, you know, professional sports teams outside of the Kansas City Monarchs out there to have this issue with. So they were able to present it in a very, you know, well-polished whenever they were ready to present it. For us, this did catch us a little off guard. The whole campaign for the 3/8 sales tax last year seemed a bit rushed and hurried. One thing I would say that we should have probably done differently is this package that the governor has set forth. It's a shame that we couldn't have seen it and had a chance to vet that package much earlier in session. It was dropped on us in the last week of session, and I don't think that was intentional. I do think it just took a while for his administration and the powers that be in Jeff City to find something that would be presentable. I don't think that he was trying to hide his pitch, so to speak, before he delivered it.
Last question here, Mark, and I appreciate this time. I think we all know that the Royals, they have openly communicated, we want a new stadium. The Royals are not going to be playing at Kauffman Stadium 10 years from now. Let me ask you this question about the Chiefs. Do you see a new stadium for the Chiefs in Missouri, or do you see a very expensive renovation to the structure that they already have?
I see an extremely expensive renovation. I wouldn't say extremely, but I do see an expensive renovation for Arrowhead. I do think they want to make that place really make it a world star stadium and a championship stadium, and I can't blame them for that.
That is Mark Sharp joining us on the show today. He is with the Missouri State of Representatives. He voted yes on this Show Me Sports Investment Act that would help fund a new stadium for the Royals and a very pricey renovation for the Kansas City Chiefs. Mark, it was great talking to you. Look forward to catching up with you down the road, hopefully when we get some good news about what's going on with this thing. Appreciate your time.
I sure hope so. Thanks again.
Absolutely. That is Mark Sharp joining us on the show today. You guys know that I'm going to give you my honest and accurate opinion on what we just heard. We have spent, Rob, probably, what, 30 minutes over the last 2 days talking to the Kansas side and the Missouri side? Hey, one side getting smoked. I don't know how you can hear both sides and come to any other conclusion other than one side has an advantage right now. One side has an advantage. It's clear what side has the advantage. Now, that can change. Let's see if they get this passed. And I do think one thing that is very interesting, and he said that, and Rob, you know this, I've been consistent. I've said this from the very beginning. We don't know what the Chiefs' plan is once we know what the Royals' plan is. Like, once the Royals come out and say, all right, it's over. We're done speculating. We are moving. We will be out of the Truman Sports Complex on this date. What does that mean for the Chiefs? That feels like a very, very important question. If you remember, one of the debates the last time that these two teams had is, well, if you guys move, who's going to pay for the demolition of Kauffman? The Royals want the Chiefs to pay for it because, hey, we're moving. It's now you guys' problem if you want this entire space. The Chiefs want the Royals to pay for it because, wait, it's your stadium. Why don't you guys pay for it? I do think that these are very important questions that we've never really got a clear answer from the football team. The Royals, I think, have given you a very clear answer. We're not going to be here. We don't want a renovation. We don't want to throw more money at this stadium. We want a downtown stadium. The Royals have never moved away from that. I don't think the Chiefs have ever really locked in and told us exactly what they want. They've kind of floated out, well, we might stay. Well, we might go to Kansas. Well, we might build a new one. We might not. So I do think that is a very important footnote in this. But again, it is very clear to me at this point, if we are scoring this like a championship fight, if we are scoring this like a football game, Kansas appears to be up 27-13 right now heading into the fourth quarter. That's what it sounds like to me. They appear to be up kind of big in this. They seem to have a very clear, concise, and can communicate to us what the plan is. I don't think Missouri can communicate to us what the plan is right now.
I think, and one thing I'm learning from all these conversations, or at least what I'm learning from all the conversations from people we talked to on the Missouri side, is exactly what you just said. It just hinges on the Chiefs, which then comes down to this. What do the Chiefs want? Because Mark Sharp just said it there. You know, once we get the Royals figured out, then the Chiefs have talked about interest in staying at Arrowhead, you know, refurbishing it, and then building a sports entertainment district around the area. Okay, but the Chiefs can do that anywhere. There's a timeline with the Royals where they got to get the Royals out and then do a lot of demolition to get there. Like, I think a lot of these conversations about the future of the Chiefs, more so than the Royals, hinges on one thing. What do the Chiefs want? Do the Chiefs want to put a new Arrowhead or a slap a coat of paint on the current Arrowhead and build the Truman Sports Complex because they like where they're at? Or do they want to try something new and build a SoFi but in a different location, which could cost more money? The Chiefs have never really communicated what they want. They put out that, that survey.
That survey, yeah.
They never came out and told us the results of the survey.
Yeah, like someone real quick, sorry to cut you off here, but someone says, CDOT, if you don't think the Chiefs have been very clear on what they want, then you haven't been paying attention. I mean, the Chiefs put out a 30-minute survey, and it really gave you both options. Hey, if we stay here, how do you guys feel about it? Well, if we move, how would you guys feel about it? I actually think the Chiefs have played this very, very close to the vest. I think the only thing that the Chiefs have been very, very clear on is we expect somebody else to pay for all of this. That's all I think they've been clear on. If their goal was to simply move to Kansas, there's nothing really stopping them from just accepting the deal right now if that's the case. It's right there for the taking, and the deal, at least according to them, expires in 40 days. You don't need Missouri's permission to go over there if that's what you want. Hey, they're offering you this money. Take this money and build a world-class stadium. There is something that is delaying this process. I think you owe it to yourself to at least hear what Missouri has to say. they are planning on, at least how it sounded, based on what we just heard from Mark Sharp, is we are going to go back. We're going to be a lot more engaging with the St. Louis representatives on this. We expect to get this passed. We expect to have something to go back to the Chiefs and say, here, this is what we can offer you. The Royals, here, this is what we can offer you. So I expect, at least with the Royals, maybe I'm wrong, I think we're going to find out something about the Royals before the 4th of July. I think we're real close to figuring something out with the Royals. I don't know if we are with the Chiefs. I think we are when it comes to the Royals. I don't think we're that far off from having a much clearer picture of what the Royals' plans are.
I would say, to your point, though, I don't think we can have a Chiefs plan until we have a Royals plan. Like, if they're to stay in Jackson County. Because we've talked about this in the show. The only place that it really makes sense in Jackson County for Arrowhead is where Arrowhead is, which means you have to have a solid plan about the Royals and a timeline on the Royals before you can make any movement. It also sounds to me like, and I know Mark Sharp, similar to yesterday, Dan Hawkins is going to come on and portray confidence and da-da-da. The fact that the way Mark Sharp described it is, we have some people who aren't acting like adults that killed one bill, and that bill caused this other bill to die, and we got to make sure we get this thing done first, and then maybe we can get this thing done, does not inspire the same confidence as a special session as Kansas saying, hey, it's June 30th, this is the date, here, figure it out. Like, there's a lot of variables at play here on the Missouri side, but you're right. If we don't get a conclusion on the Royals soon, we're never getting a conclusion on the Chiefs, and it just feels like in that moment, in that scenario, that's when Kansas swoops in because Missouri can't figure it out.
Someone on the text line says, and we'll keep talking about this after the other side of the break, CDOT, if Clark Hunt wanted to renovate, he would upgrade the players' facility that they've been giving F grades on. They want a new stadium. I'm not entirely sure of that, and this is just not me from my Missouri bias speaking. I'm not 100% convinced about this. I think the Chiefs are simply somebody that wants the best deal possible. I think they want the best deal possible. I think we've seen enough evidence of the Chiefs are going to go where the money is. So maybe the money is on the Missouri side. Hey, we like where we are. We've got this historic, traditional state. The state of Missouri is going to give us $1.5 billion to renovate this thing exactly how we want to. Our goal is to stay here. Again, I'm not saying that the I've told you guys from the beginning, I think the Royals are moving to downtown, and I think ultimately the Chiefs are going to move out by the Legends. So that's what I think the favorite is. I think that's the most likely thing. But I do think that you are going to see the Chiefs wait to see how this thing plays out with Missouri and exactly how much money they are going to be willing to offer them to completely renovate Arrowhead. And not that half-assed one they proposed a year ago, the one that didn't make any sense, the one that no one was excited about. No, I think they're going to get serious cash this time to do a Soldier Field, Lambeau Field type renovation out at Arrowhead. I think we have to figure out how much money that's going to be. We can keep talking about this because there was one part of this story that just blows my mind. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I do think that this next cut is really, really interesting. I think it's very interesting and gives you some insight on potentially why things have worked so differently in Missouri than they have in Kansas. Now, I'm not going to make it seem like I'm completely well-versed in Kansas politics, but I have done enough reading and we have talked to enough people that everybody in Kansas appears to be fighting the same fight. Yes, this is more of a eastern side of the state fight than a western side, but Rob, we haven't really seen any stories. Well, hey, the people on the west side of it don't really see a value in having the Chiefs move to our state. They seem to be, hey, if we got a chance to do this, we are all on the same team. I want what is in the best interest of the state of Kansas. Let's go do it. You're telling me that Kansas City, the Jackson County area, is not only fighting Wyandotte County, is not only fighting Johnson County. It's also got to fight St. Louis and the Boot Hill. All right. Well, it makes sense why Missouri seems like they're getting thumped right now.
There's a human element, right? You have folks that are upset because, folks in St. Louis may not necessarily care about what's happening in Kansas City. All they know is my project for $50 million didn't get funded to help this hospital out. So you have folks who are upset, and I get being upset, but we had a chance. And again, the Missouri House approved this measure. This all unfolded and really kind of went up in smoke in the Missouri Senate. You had folks on both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans, that were, and again, these were not Kansas City folks. These were folks that were from different parts of the state. Folks in Kansas City were in lockstep. We wanted to make sure that we supported our teams. Representative Chris Brown, who I believe was the sponsor of the amendment on the House side, said it best. I mean, these are Missouri teams, and they need to stay in Missouri. So we feel that way. Unfortunately, we're going to have to make some folks happy, it looks like, with Senate Bill 19 and trying to pump some life back into that before we can see any action taken further.
I understand this is politics. You guys know that I'm in the middle of watching House of Cards. This is basically the plot of House of Cards. All they do is trade favors. That's the entire show. I want this thing done. Well, if you vote for me on this thing, I'll look out for you on this thing. We're doing that about the Chiefs and the Royals? Maybe that's what's happening in Kansas. At least they're keeping it quiet. I don't believe that everything has gone perfect on that side. I mean, you got a lot of people, a lot of different agendas, a lot of different beliefs, but man, at least they give the public appearance of we're all fighting for what we think is in the best interest of the state. I'm not getting that sense from the Missouri side at all. Again, it seems like Jackson County and Kansas City, Missouri, seems like they're in an uphill battle. We got to fight Johnson County, Wyandotte County, St. Louis County. I don't know what other counties they got over there. We got to fight all of them off to keep these two teams. It seems like eventually the field simply wins the argument. It's way too many forces pulling in too many different directions. And if your option is, if you're the Chiefs, because I think this is much more of a Chiefs conversation than a Royals conversation. If your option is simple or difficult, forget the money. We are a $10 billion organization. Do you want the simple plan or the complicated plan? A lot of people usually pick the simple plan, and one side, their plan seems far more simple than the other one.
The fact that he said, we have to do some things to bolster up projects and bills that people on the Missouri side, and he went on later to say there are other people in the Boot Hill of Missouri, we have to do things to bolster up their projects, and then maybe we'll circle back and get our project funded for the stadiums. I get that's politicking, but if the state of Missouri has to bend over backwards to make St. Louis County and what is Missouri and Boone, Columbia and Boone County, and what's Springfield and all those
doing
counties?
A lot. Yeah, we're doing a lot, bro.
If we got to make the Boot Hill happy to keep the Arrowhead, it doesn't make sense to me. And maybe this is me seeing things through my Kansas lens. Yesterday, Dan Hawkins on the show, you know what he admitted? I live in Wichita. And he was on here singing the praises of the keeping the Chiefs and the Royals coming to Kansas. You know, Wichita isn't going to see any benefit from that. Wichita will change none. And yet he was on this show being like, this is great. Then the Missouri state rep came on and said, well, yeah, we didn't really help St. Louis out with a different bill, so they tanked this one. Huh?
Yeah, it doesn't make no sense. These are the people that I'm supposed to have faith and confidence in to get this thing through. I'm losing it. Mark did sound confident. Oh, you know, we're going to work together. Y'all ain't been working together for a year. Now, all of a sudden, we're going to start working together? Okay, I guess. We'll see what happens. I'm not confident. I'm not optimistic about any of those things. I just want to give you guys the information. Let me read a stat to you guys here very quickly. I actually earlier had a conversation with Sam Stevie from the News Talk station, and he was like, why do you hate Xavier Worthy? And I was like, I was confused. Like, what are you talking about? I don't hate Xavier Worthy. He's like, why are you tweeting that stat about him? I was like, I just thought the stat was kind of interesting, and I thought other people would want to know. Last year, for Xavier Worthy's targets, 70% of Xavier Worthy's targets last season traveled 9 yards or fewer down the field. If you want my answer on what I would like to see change most with the Chiefs offense, and this probably comes with more timing, more experience, more chemistry between Mahomes and Xavier Worthy, I imagine this also is improved by a better offensive line, so just more time to sit in the pocket, more time to let routes develop. I don't know if the Chiefs really tackled the downfield ability with Xavier Worthy last year. if there is a wrinkle in his game that I would love to see for this upcoming season and how this offense can get back some of its explosiveness and big plays and just fear with the Chiefs offense. There was a time that we used to compare the Chiefs offense to Golden State. I'm talking about Golden State when they had Klay in their prime, Steph Curry in their prime, and Kevin Durant. You guys remember some of those third quarter runs the Chiefs would go on. I mean, bop, 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 and they'd score 28 points in the quarter, and the fourth quarter was easy. It's been a while since we've seen the offense flourish like that. Well, you got a Ferrari in Xavier Worthy, the fastest player to ever go to the combine. You got a Ferrari. You got to start driving it like a Ferrari. And completing or attempting 70% of his passes are underneath an intermediate stuff. That's not why you drafted Xavier Worthy. You went out and you got a 5'10 speedster to be a down the field, big play, big threat kind of receiver. So if there's one thing that I want to see from the offense next year, and you think once you get a healthy group back where you got Rashee Rice, you got Hollywood Brown, you got a better offensive line, I want to see more pop. I want to see more sizzle. I want to see more big play ability from the Chiefs. And that starts with unlocking Xavier Worthy. You go get Xavier Worthy to take the top off of the defense. And some of it was just timing. Some of it was just football IQ and awareness issues that Xavier Worthy had last year. They just didn't have enough of those kind of plays in their arsenal last year. Coming up on the other side, we'll continue to talk about the Chiefs. Joe Tooney has signed a new contract with the Chicago Bears. What does that mean? We'll discuss it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.